Carmen, let's spend some time talking about Dendera. Tell me about this era, the road to Dendera open again. It had been closed, you say, for 12 years. That's incredible all by itself. And then this newly revealed reptilian beings, star maps. Tell me about this. This is fascinating.
It totally is. Well, one of the things that I notice about the temples along the Nile is the distance that they are away from the river now. And so because we know that the Nile has migrated, it seems that the temples that are farthest away from the Nile would be the oldest. And so if you look at the Luxor Temple, it's right across the street from the river. Karnak is a couple of feet away. Komombo, you come right upon it on the cruise ships. Temple of Isis, you can't tell anymore because of the Aswan Dam having flooded it and put it on an island. But Abydos and Dendera are miles away from the Nile. Now, if you go up on the ceiling at Dendera, on the roof, which you're not allowed to do anymore, but years ago I was able to go up there, you can see way, way off in the distance is the river. So the other thing about Dendera is that it's so old that there is also a temple underneath it. And so that's the other thing, is that we seem to have geological layers and temporal layers of time that make these temples older. So as I described in the last segment, that Abydos has a temple that's a full 30 feet underneath. If you go into one of the chambers in the Temple of Dendera, there's a hole on just on the side, and what you can see if you look through is the tops of temple pillars. Well, that's the case at Giza, too. There's a Temple of Isis there that was cemented over now and paved over by our close personal friends in the Department of Antiquities. But it's like very few people understand how these layers really are indicating a completely different time frame and a different belief system and different stuff going on.
Fascinating.
Incredible. Not only that, in the crypts where there's no windows, there's no soot from, they had no light down there, so they must have had some kind of source of light. So, you know, that speaks to different power sources and all kinds of things. So, every temple in Egypt had Christian occupancy in the early parts of AD, so 200-300 AD, and for several hundred years, actually, the Christians made these mud brick encampments around the pyramid, around the temples, and massive. And so they had many, many people who would live there and would actually spend their time destroying the artifacts and the frescoes. And so you see these little chisel marks where they sharpen their chisels, and you wonder what the lumpy, bumpy parts are on the temple walls, and that would be their favorite part, and then they would just smash away for years. So in Dendera, part of the time they actually were inside the temple, and they had fires in there. So the ceiling ended up full of soot, and it's very pronounced as well at Edfu, which is another temple that's farther away from the river, and between fungus over the years and soot, you ended up with a thick layer of black all over the entire temple, like the walls, the ceiling, everything. So in the past, when we would go in the police escort to go down the road was closed. It was once or twice a day, convoy would go.
They didn't want people down there, did they?
Well, that's another thing. Like, it was in response to the Luxor incident, which was a crisis, but it was an isolated incident that happened on the West Bank, which is a completely different region.
Right.
And in response to say, okay, we're going to keep you safe, it's kind of like, you know, the way the airlines think of things when there's a terrorist incident. They look the other way and, you know, give us another level of control, and that's supposed to fix the problem that's over on the other side. And so they closed this road that's completely unrelated to the area where this happened. There was, you know, you'd go down the road, you knew there wasn't anything happening. But what it did was it restricted the access, and it took Dendera and Abydos off the beaten path of the major temples when people get a package tour to go to Egypt, a classic package tour from any old travel agent, right? So, anyway, they left the temple over these 12 years, basically not doing any work on it, and they could have been doing a lot. Like, they're making a lot of money. Like, Egypt's quite full, and they're, you know, charging a high price for people to get in, and there's thousands and thousands of people that go every day to the temples along the beaten path. And anyway, so I was not in Egypt for 10 months. And I always go to Abydos and Dendera if we can. And all of a sudden, we walked into the first hypostyle hall and divided right down the center. Half was black and the other entire half was clean. The ceiling, the walls, the temple pillars. And I cannot tell. I mean, I hardly spent any time in the rest of the temple because I stood there with my jaw hanging open looking up.
How do you explain that?
Why they cleaned it. They're not allowed to add color, but they are allowed to take off fungus and soot.
Okay.
And it didn't take, I mean, eight, ten months. I mean, I don't know that they had even started.
I was going to, but why only half?
Well, because they didn't get around to it.
Okay.
I mean, they could have done it 20 years ago. So I don't understand, you know, any of the political details of who decides what when. And it shows that it's possible because at Esna, it's taken them years to do, like, you know, half as many pillars and never mind the ceiling and the walls. Like, it's just painstaking. Anyway, I don't know if they used a chemical on it or what they did, but for sure it's against the rules of restoration to add color. So what they've done is they've taken something off and they've revealed the original color. So it's cobalt, turquoise, wine, burgundy, and gold, and then the white. And it is stunningly beautiful. The details are so incredible. And the Hathor pillars, like Hathor is the only being that has temple pillars dedicated to her. Everywhere else, you see lotus and papyrus capitals at the top of the pillar, but not a being. And it's unbelievably gorgeous because her hair is done, and there's these little lotus flowers that go up in the clips that are in her hair. And then there's winged discs on the wall. And then when you look up on the ceiling, it's so detailed. It's like an entire story. And I have it on HD video. The camera was very cooperative. They let me take pictures, like for all these years when I've been trying to get video and pictures. No, madame. You know.
And nobody knows anything about this car.
I know. And I saved it for you. I've done a lot of radio interviews since my last Coast show. I said, I'm not telling anybody about this unless I'm on Coast. So this is hot off the press. You're not going to find pictures on Flickr or anything. I mean, this, maybe if people know to go and look, they'll take them in the future. But I was dumbfounded to see it. There is a Hathor cow with wings and four ram heads. There are frog-headed beings with pharaonic bodies, all kinds of lizards and snakes and reptiles. And I just put one little section up there. But there's star maps and solar boats that William Henry will tell you are wormholes. And then there's the baboon that depicts time. And then there's stars above. And they're traveling through the zodiac. So you see all the zodiac images. And then you've got the body of Nui, who the milk of her breasts is the milk of the Milky Way. So her feet touch the ground and she arches over and her hands touch the other side. And the motion of the sun through a day, or the sun cycles that go through longer periods of time in the Egyptian cosmology, are all depicted. And it's this enormous story. And before, all we could see is that, yeah, that's the rough outline of a boat. Okay, and that may be a little star, but you couldn't see the whole thing. So I'm just starting to look at it and see the details on the hieroglyphic panels in between, and to see that the hieroglyphs, they're not an alphabet. There's 4,000 hieroglyphic symbols, and then there's extra symbols that we've never seen before, and this is what's showing up here and there.
What do you think they're trying to say with these bizarre creatures?
How about something like, beings came from the stars, they could travel between dimensions, they perhaps walked around here among us,